Acts chapter number 2. We're going to read from verse number 41 all the way down to the end of verse number 47. Acts chapter number 2, down to starting in verse number 41 to the end of verse number 47. We're reading from the King James Bible. And let's read together in unison, shall we? Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I want you to look at verse number 44. The Bible says there, and all that believed were together. I'm going to talk to you this morning and bring this sermon on all that believed. All that believed. Dear Heavenly Father, again, thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for this morning that you allow us to get up, to breathe. Lord, you've been merciful. You've been good to us and patient. Thank you for these folks that are here this morning. I pray this will be a help. I believe it will be if we just pay attention. If we learn something, dear God, help us not to be distracted. Help us not to be a distraction. Help us to listen to thy word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. I'm going to say some things in this morning's sermon that for most people, this is going to be a shock. If you don't know your Bible, you haven't read your Bible, most people, not everybody. Some people do read their Bibles. Some people do know their Bibles. But this kind of a Bible study, we're going to have a Bible study this morning for this sermon, is going to shock some of you, most of you. So I want you to pay attention. I promise you, you will learn something if you haven't heard anything like this before. And you'll see, it's just so simple. It's in the Bible. It's very clear, and it's not complicated. But religion complicates it, and man complicates it. Tina, you want to sit down, or are you going to leave? What, are you going to leave, or are you going to sit down? Acts chapter number 2, verse number 44 says, all that believed. Now, that's a very interesting phrase here. All that believed. This morning and tonight, there's no way I can finish it all this morning. This morning, I'm going to be teaching and preaching the subject, believer, disciple, and Christian. They are not the same thing. If I were to ask somebody, how many people in this room are Christians? If you raise your hand, you'd probably be lying, because you have just assumed that you're a Christian. But that's not true, because as you'll find out tonight, Christian entails a lot more things than just being saved. There's three categories in the Bible of people that are saved. There's three categories of people who encompass all that believe. As you read verse number 44, all that believed were together. Well, there's three groups in the Bible that we're going to go through. Number one are the believers. Those people have asked Jesus Christ to be their Savior. They realized that they were a sinner on their way to hell. They didn't want to go to hell, and they realized that Jesus Christ, God Almighty, came in the flesh to die in their place to pay for their sins. So they have asked Jesus Christ for mercy to save their soul. That's a believer. Everybody who is saved is a believer. There's two kinds of people in the world, saved and lost. You're either saved on your way to heaven to be with Jesus, or you're lost, a child of hell, on your way to hell to burn forever in hell. So you're one of the two groups. You're either saved on the way to heaven with Jesus, or you're lost on your way to hell to burn. Now, under the saved category, there's three groups. Believers are the first group. That's when you get saved. You've asked Jesus Christ to save your soul. You believe the Bible. As a matter of fact, the word believer or unbeliever is mentioned six times in the New Testament. Twice as believers, and four times as unbeliever. So, and that separates a person who has asked Jesus to be their Savior from those who have rejected Jesus Christ to be their Savior. But just because you are a believer, you believe the Bible, you believe the Word of God, you believe in Jesus Christ, does not mean that you're a disciple. It does not mean that you're a Christian. A disciple is somebody who is disciplined. A disciple is somebody who is taught. And by the way, I'll read it later on. A Christian is somebody who is Christ-like. That's far above a believer or a disciple. Just because you believe the Bible and you're a child of God and you're saved does not mean you're a Christian. You'll see that tonight. Just because you're a child of God and you're saved does not mean that you're a disciple. There's a lot of other things in the Bible. All light and all life come from God, God's Word. Misunderstood Bible terms are purposefully changed by society to change our mind and our thinking, to change it away from God's Word. That's why the children of God is much different than the sons and daughters of God. That's why the word pastor and bishop are two different words in the Greek and in the English. That's why the word liberal today is hated by Christians, but it's a Bible word that is a good word. God's people ought to be liberal. But the good word gay today has been changed to mean that you're a queer or a sodomite or some pervert. The Bible word gay means happy or joyous. There's nothing wrong with that word. I am a gay liberal, but I voted for Donald Trump, okay? I'm a gay liberal. I'm happy, and I give of myself as much as I possibly can. But the world has changed those words to make you think that they're bad words. And so what we've done, God's people, have changed their vocabulary based on the world instead of what God says in the Word of God. The kingdom of God is not the same as the kingdom of heaven. I'll remind you that the word bastard is in the Bible. It's not a bad word. It means a person who doesn't know who their father is. Every person has a father. You just don't know who it is. But the Bible says it's a bastard, okay? It's not a bad word. The world makes you think it's a bad word. The word whore is mentioned in the Bible. It's not a bad word. It's a connotation of what happens today in today's society. People are fornicating and committing adultery. They're whoring around. Another word is piss. It's the word is all through the Bible. Now, we don't say piss anymore because we're so far away from the Bible, we don't want to offend somebody. I'm just showing you examples how far away we are from the Word of God, that these words, Pastor, you shouldn't say these words. Where if they're Bible words, then you ought to believe them. It tells you most people are just believers. They're not even gotten to the level of disciple yet, let alone being a Christian, okay? You'll see, there's no one in our church that's a Christian. You'll see that tonight. I promise you. You think you're a Christian. You call yourself a Christian. You'll find out from the Bible you are not a Christian tonight. And when you say you're a Christian, you're lying to yourself. And you're lying to other people. You're lying to God. So we have people now who believe that Baptists are Protestants, even though they're not. Now we have Baptists that have worship service and worship teams and worship leaders when the only thing you're supposed to do is worship Jesus Christ and nobody can lead you in worship. You worship by yourself. Sunday is not the Lord's Day, but we're taught that it is. So we've swallowed these heretical teachings one by one without knowing our Bible, without reading our Bibles. We go to religious services, we go to churches, and we listen to these sermons, and we just assume they're right because my favorite pastor, my favorite doctor, my favorite evangelist said so. Well, and most of God's people are worse than an infidel, even though they're saved. They're saved. So we have lazy, uncaring, not compassionate, selfish, self-centered, not giving, wanting people, fleshly desires more than godly desires. They miss church, little to no prayer, not being a soul winner, but they call themselves a Christian. By the way, I've been guilty of this. I'm being serious. I've been guilty of it. We call ourselves, oh, I'm a Christian. You know, when they take the polls, you know, oh, there's so many Christians in this country over here, and the percentage of Christians are, and they lump Catholics and Protestants and Jehovah's Witnesses, and they even put evangelical or Baptists who are not even, most of them are not Christians. They may be believers, but just because you believe the Bible doesn't mean you're a Christian. A Christian is Christ-like, small Christ. A believer is someone who has trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. They have asked Jesus to forgive them of their sins and save their soul from hell. By believing the scriptures by faith that Jesus Christ, God Almighty in the flesh, came to this earth as a sinless Son of God, gave himself as the atoning sacrifice for the payment of the entire world's sins so that everyone can be saved from hell. A believer is someone who is born again. You can be a person of faith and be lost, a child of hell, and an unbeliever. You can be religious and be lost on your way to an eternal hell because you have never trusted Jesus Christ to be your Savior. You can be a good church member, baptized, confirmed, enshrined, encased, embalmed, entombed, burning in hell because you rejected Jesus Christ as your only hope of salvation because you thought you were good enough and you didn't need to humble yourself and trust Jesus to save you. You could be a good Catholic, a good Protestant, a good Baptist, and be a child of the devil because you never trusted Jesus Christ to be your Savior. You can be a good Hindu and a good Muslim and a good pagan, a good atheist, or a good agnostic and die and go to hell because you refuse to believe God's holy word, the King James Bible. A believer is someone who repented and has gotten saved. Repent only means to change your mind. That's all it means. Not to change your life, not to stop sinning, not to do something good. Repent means to change your mind, period. It's not complicated. Religion complicates it. Most religions and churches today are money-making organizations who are out to deceive simple-minded people from their money. And not just churches, but also the vast majority of nonprofits, the schools, and foundations. Most of them are in it for the money that they greedily seek after while they profess how much they care about people. My Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Well, it only takes one act of faith to be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, but the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God, over and over in the Bible, teaches us that the only way to go to heaven is by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you become a believer. You become a child of God. You are saved now. But that doesn't mean you're a disciple, and that does not mean you're a Christian. Take your Bible, turn to Acts chapter number 5. Acts chapter number 5 and verse number 14. The Bible says, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. I can't stand here and give you a guess of how many people are believers, disciples, and Christians. I don't know that because I don't know everybody. But if I was forced to guess, in America, I'd say 90% of those who profess are believers. I would say that 9.9% of the rest are disciples and 0.1% are Christians in America. Of course, if you were to go to other foreign nations where Christians are being beheaded and Christians are being tortured to death, the numbers would probably be reversed. And the vast majority of believers in Iran are probably Christians. And the other large group would be the disciples. And probably a minute group would be believers. They're all believers. But the believers have not grown up to be disciples because they're afraid to tell somebody because they might be persecuted, they might be killed. And the disciples who have grown up to be a Christian are bold and they don't care if they die for Jesus Christ or not. In America, we have too much. We're too rich. We're too self-centered. We're too selfish. We're too lazy. But yet we call ourselves Christian. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to Acts chapter number 11, please. Acts chapter number 11. Acts chapter number 11, verse number... Verse 25, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. Watch, and by the way, they had church 7 days a week back then, okay? Not like our backslidden American churches, okay? And taught much people, and the, watch this, the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. That's very interesting because it was the disciples that were called by their enemies. Oh, these are a bunch of Christians over here. They're just like their leader, Jesus Christ, who we crucified. They're just like them. These people are just like him. So it was the world calling the disciples, now not just a believer. You know, too many believers are ashamed of Jesus Christ. They're ashamed of church. They're ashamed of carrying their Bibles. They're ashamed of praying in public over their dinner, over their lunch in a restaurant. They're ashamed of doing right, living right, dressing right, and being right. They're ashamed of it. So these are believers. When a believer graduates and they grow more and more in the Lord and read their Bible, they become disciplined. They become a disciple. It is those disciples that are called Christians by the world. You remember Second Chronicles 7:14? If my people which are, everybody leaves out that first part and say, if they pray, seek my face, turn from the evil ways, or whatever it is, you know, humble themselves, those four things. But they always leave out the first part. That verse in 2 Chronicles 7:14 is not talking to believers or disciples. It's talking to people that are called by the world. Oh, those are those fanatics over there. If you're a believer and you have not graduated and grown up to be a disciple and you become disciplined, the world's not calling you a Christian. Okay? They're probably criticizing you because you're arrogant towards other people. You're not Christ-like. You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You don't love people the way that you ought to love people. You don't sacrifice the way you ought to sacrifice. We have too much pride, too much of a chip on our shoulder. We want to tell everybody how much we don't know. It's the world in both places, 2 Chronicles 7:14 and Acts 17:11. In both places, it's the world that's calling God's people, those are the ones. And those are the ones that God will use to bring revival. Not the believers, and listen to me good, not even the disciples. It'll be Christians, but that's for tonight's sermon. See, a Christian, I'll move on after this. A Christian goes a second mile. You can't even come to all four services in church this week. But you call yourself a Christian. You see, it'll be the Christian that will be told, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But, you know, you don't go to church, you don't read your Bible, you don't live right, you don't think you're right, you have too much pride, but you think you're a Christian because you haven't read your Bible yet. Jesus said, if you love me, you can keep my commandments. A Christian would weep like the prophet Jeremiah does. A Christian would love their enemies and turn the other cheek. A Christian's life would be permeated with kindness and love in their words and actions. You see, the Bible says the godly shall suffer persecutions. That's what my Bible says. Has anybody in this room been arrested the last week or two? In the last month or two? In the last year or two? You know where they're at? They surrendered to go overseas in a missionary somewhere, in a missionary field that you sit there and criticize. My Bible says the godly shall suffer persecution. That's what your Bible says this morning. I'm a Christian. Okay. You're not getting that from a Bible. You're getting that from the world or other churches or other religious leaders. They were called Christians by others. Do you study the Bible every day like they did? I'm not talking about reading it. I'm not talking about a devotional where you read one verse and read some man's four or five paragraphs about one verse. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about studying the Bible every day. Are you a soul winner? How many people did you lead to Christ this week? Last week? This month? This year? Last year? The first step in anything, in any growth, is to acknowledge where you're at. So just be honest with God. Say, God, I'm not there. And none of us are. We're all growing, but don't stop growing. I just want you to know that there's three levels in Christianity. There's believers, disciples, and Christians. But just because you're a disciple doesn't mean that you're saved either. Because even the enemy can come in and deceive people because they're disciplined. The Bible talks about the disciples of the Pharisees, the disciples of Herod. You can be a disciple of John the Baptist, a disciple of Moses, the Bible says. You can be a disciple of Jesus. That's good. But I'll remind you that Judas Iscariot was a disciple of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, one sinner destroyeth much good. So just because you see somebody who acts the part, walks the part, talks the part, does not mean, I don't know, I can't see anybody's heart. I'm not going to sit here and say, well, you're saved, you're not saved. I don't do that. I don't say you're a disciple, you're not a disciple. I'm just preaching. But I want you to know there's three levels in the Bible concerning Christianity. The first basic level is where everybody enters in, everybody is saved. If you're saved, if you're a child of God. But just because you're saved does not mean you're a disciple. And by the way, let me just say this. I had this written down here. I should read it because it'll make more sense when I read it. The word disciple, that root word, is found 258 times in the Bible. Twice in the Old Testament and 256 times in the New Testament. I want you to pay attention to the statement I'm about to make. The word disciple is never used as a verb in the Bible. Now, you may not understand that, and you may not understand the difference, but it's very, very important. I cannot disciple anybody. That's why we don't have disciple classes. We don't have discipleship classes. I can teach you. I cannot disciple you. There's a big difference. A disciple is formed when a student or pupil receives the teaching and they self-discipline themselves and they become a disciple. We don't have discipleship classes. The verb disciple is not in the Bible, but you have Baptist churches all across America who are telling people we disciple people. That's from the world. It's not in the Bible. Every disciple word in the Bible is a noun. Somebody who is a disciple because they wanted to be a disciple. They chose to be a disciple. They were trained. They sat. They listened. They learned. And so they graduated from being a believer to a disciple. Where are you? You ought to ask yourself, where am I? What level am I? Do I know anything about the Bible? Do I know the books of the Bible? Do I know them in order? Do I know any of the men and women in the Bible? Or do you know the Hollywood stars and the movies more than you know your Bible? Do you know what time your favorite programs come on more than the Bible? Have you memorized your favorite whores and harlot songs more than the words in the King James Bible? I mean, you ought to ask yourself these questions. Where am I in my growth? How much time have you spent praying? How much time have you spent reading your Bible? How many times have you read the Bible? My job is try to persuade you and convict you. I'm praying that the Holy Ghost of God will convict you and say, I want to do more for God. I want to learn more about God. I want to learn more about the Word of God. And that'll help you grow in grace to learn more about the Word of God. The Bible never used the word disciples of a very, very important, ladies and gentlemen, very important. My job is not to disciple anybody. My job is to teach people. It's up to you what you do with it. Why can somebody listen to the same sermon and say, boy, that was great, and somebody says, you know, I don't really care. Somebody walks out of a Sunday night sermon or a tent meeting sermon and say, boy, that was great, and the other person just goes like this, just folds their hands and says, I don't care. I'm not listening to anything he says. Well, it's the same sermon. It's the same teaching, same truth, same principle. One person says, I'm going to rebel against God. One person says, give me all you got. Well, it's up to the individual to self-teach yourself, to self-discipline yourself. No one forced me to be a pastor. No one forced me to get saved. No one forced me to go to church. No one forced me. I did it on my own. And as I came to church, as I read my Bible, as I prayed, I grew. And I want to do more for God. You cannot disciple someone. You can teach someone. You can train someone. But I can show you verses over and over in the Bible. Even if they're chastened, the fool won't want to listen. So the same chastening, the same teaching, the same doctrine, the same reproof on one person sinks in, the other person just bounces off like water on a duck's back. Only that person can decide and choose to become a disciple. Just because you come and listen does not mean you're a disciple. It may be you show up for class, but you know, some students get an F when they come to class. Some students get kicked out of class because they don't want to learn, or they disrupt the class. So just because you come to class to learn, to hear the teaching of the Word of God, doesn't mean you're a disciple. It just means that you're coming to class, a student or a pupil. A disciple is one who is disciplined, like a Marine in boot camp who's been trained. Going through this Bible study, and I preached this sermon years ago, many years ago. I've not looked at it, have no idea where the notes are, I'm just saying. But for the first time, because I have so much abundant time in my life, like I did this last week, I did the etymology of the word and the definition of the word disciple. And here's what the word disciple, the noun, says. A follower, to take, to accept, to learn, to grasp intellectually, analyze thoroughly, to take hold of. I'm just reading the etymology that you can find online about the English word discipline and disciple. Physical punishment, teaching, suffering, martyrdom, instruction given, teaching, learning, knowledge, object of instruction, knowledge, science, military discipline, treatment that corrects or punishes. Nobody wants to punish today. I was driving, we were in North Carolina, Tennessee this last week. I was listening to news, or was it last week? Can't remember now. Time doesn't much matter to me this last week. It's great when you go 12, 14, 15 hours without a cell phone, amen, every single day for 5 days in a row, amen. So, but I just heard that some school board in North Carolina just voted to do away with spanking, corporal punishment, in their school. And I read where 100 parents objected to it, and the only reason the school board passed it was because somebody on the school board didn't want the children having corporal punishment. Are you listening to me good? They don't want kids to be taught. By the way, I can show you in the Bible that people are taught that, taught a lesson. My mom used to teach me with a switch. And there's a Bible verse on that. They're going to teach them a lesson. The reason your kids are so undisciplined, because they've not been taught a lesson. And so because everybody's afraid to spank their kids because they're afraid DSS or CVS might take them away, your kids are untrained, they're undisciplined, and they run you instead of you running them. And so you have a bunch of monsters on your hand, but you're afraid. That's why, you know what? Why don't you get out in the country somewhere with about 4 acres and whip their little rear ends where nobody can hear when they cry? Amen. But you want to live in a city where the sodomites gather, where the world gathers. And see, when you only have one kid, you can spoil that one kid. But you know, my daughter's got 9 children. You can't spoil 9 kids. There's no way. And they don't got much. But we're so spoiled today. We try to time out. That's your discipline. Time out. Where's that time out found in the Bible? Absolutely nowhere. So what we have is I don't believe in spanking children, Pastor. That's because you don't believe the Bible. You've not grown up from believer. If you're barely there. You believed in Jesus Christ, but you don't even believe the rest of the Bible. You believed in the Lord Jesus Christ enough to get saved, but you don't even read the Bible. The reason people say, I don't believe in spankings, you haven't read the Bible, what God said. You need to grow up to be a disciple. But just because you know what the Bible says about certain truths does not mean you're a Christian either. Because too many people who are disciples have pride and a chip on their shoulder. And they carry some truth that they know that most people don't know with arrogance. Just because you're saved does not mean you're a Christian. Just because you're saved does not mean you're a disciple. We all need to grow. We need to grow in grace. I mean, I got 4 to 5, 6 pages of the words that fall under the word disciple, of the etymology. You're not going to believe this. I didn't realize this, but the word etymology falls under disciple, wanting to learn and grasp the meaning of things. Most people don't want to read English. We're being taught Ebonics and street gutter language. We can't even read the English because we're not disciplined enough. We don't even know what phonics is. I mean, the list goes on. The etymology of the stuff is unbelievable. Austerity, militia, train, mortify, observance, school, correct, order, Bible. I mean, this is the world's etymology under the word disciple. And legion. So, most of God's people are babes in Christ in America. They're sucking their thumbs. We have to baby them. So, okay, I don't want to say too much because it might hurt your feelings. You know, I have to be careful what I say around you because you get so disappointed and so distraught and so angry and so flustered. You know what? You're not disciplined enough. You're not even disciplined, let alone being a Christian. When the pastor says something that bothers you, that tells me exactly where you're at or where you're not at in your growth. Let's say the pastor even made a mistake and messed up. If you had enough grace in you, you say, I love you, pastor. God bless you. Thank you very much. Thank you enough for caring for me, pastor. No, Christians would say that. Even disciplined people would hold their tongue, even if they don't understand or disagree. But it's usually the babes that go from church to church. It's usually the babes that go from book to book. It's usually the babes that go from heresy to heresy. It's usually the babes that show up whenever they feel like showing it up, not all the time. It takes discipline to always come to church all the time. I'm just telling you. So, you know, some of you are single, you just can barely come to church. You try having six kids with my wife when all the kids were young. I mean, the ages were from 0 to 10 maybe. You try getting six kids together just for church on Sunday morning, and you can't even get out of bed and come to Sunday school. You can't make it for Sunday night service. You can't make it for Wednesday night prayer meeting and Bible study. I'm a Christian. What religion are you? Well, I'm a Christian. No, you may be a believer. You may be saved. You may be a child of God. But when you show up in shorts and a t-shirt in God's house, you're not a Christian. Thank God for you coming. But you don't even have the decent. You know what? When you go to a funeral and flip-flops and sweatpants, it tells you how far society has fallen, ladies and gentlemen. People don't have the decency to dress up anymore. Oh, you'll dress up for an interview for work because you're more concerned about your money than you are representing the King of Kings. I'm a child of the King. I want to represent the King of Heaven. Amen. But you're still there as a baby sucking your thumb. We have to change your diapers once in a while. You scream, just like the kids scream. Look, I know this is Sunday morning, but you need to hear this, ladies and gentlemen. You need to grow up. Somebody's got to tell you, you need to grow up. I don't care what your age is, you need to grow up. We expect babies to scream, the toddlers, when they're getting changed and they're fighting over a little toy in the nursery. We expect that. We don't expect it from 30-year-olds or 40-year-old, 50-year-old adults when it comes to mature subjects. That tells me we're still at this level down here. We're believers, babes in Christ, and that's sad. If you don't even know that the King James Bible is the Word of God, you're still a babe, man. You haven't grown. If God hasn't revealed to you, He has, but you haven't received it, the truth about the King James Bible, you're not a disciple or a Christian, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't even know what the truth of the Word of God is. And that's how sad America is today. So we need to grow. We need to learn. My Bible says that His disciples followed Him. My Bible says His disciples came unto Him. He said to His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Are you a soul winner? When's the last time you handed out a gospel tract? I'm not talking about inviting. Thank God for you inviting people to church. I'm not against that. Please, don't misunderstand me. But when's the last time you took a gospel tract out? You ask my wife. I have a heart attack if I go somewhere I don't have a gospel tract on me, man. I mean, I do witness. I tell people. I love this tie I'm wearing. It says, you think it's my Walmart tie if you can see it from there. But it says, Jesus loves you. Smile, Jesus loves you. I don't think it says smile. It just says, Jesus loves you. I used to wear this in court when I knew a certain attorney was going to be in the courtroom the next day. or which judge it was going to be. I mean, yeah, so one judge came by and said, well, I like that tie until he came up and started reading. It says, Jesus loves you, amen. Are you a disciple? Are you a Christian? Or are you just a believer? Do you follow Jesus? Do you obey Jesus? Take your Bible, please turn with me to John chapter number 6. The Gospel of John chapter number 6. And I'm not saying to quit and get mad. I'm just saying keep growing. Keep reading your Bible. Say, Pastor, I don't know everything about it. That's all right. None of us did when we got saved. Most people, when they got saved, I didn't know anything about the Bible. When I got saved, I'd read like maybe one, two, or three chapters in the entire Bible before I got saved. It was too boring for me, so I put it down. I think I read the first one or two chapters in Genesis, the first two or three chapters in Matthew, and that was about it. I mean, I knew about Jesus, but I didn't read my Bible. I didn't know anything. You're looking at somebody who's been saved since 1978, November. It'd be 40 years this November I've been saved. So you can't expect to know, what I've learned, what I've read. You can't expect that. But wherever you're at, keep reading it. Keep reading it. Keep reading it. You'll learn things that you won't believe. Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. What'd I say? John chapter number 6. What'd I just say? Matthew? John chapter number 6. It's been a long week, ladies and gentlemen. John chapter number 6. And verse number 60. John chapter number 6. I found that this week, a person 61 years old, not supposed to drive 14, 15 hours straight, twice in 1 week, and in between, drive 10 hours another day, all day. I learned that this week. You thought I would have learned it last week, or last year, or 2 years ago, but I learned this week another truth that I should have learned when I was just a babe in Christ, amen. John chapter number 6, and verse number 60. John 6, and verse number 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, Jesus preaching and teaching, when they heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" It's kind of tough for me to swallow there, Pastor. Where do you think that's at in the Bible? Well, Dr. So-and-so doesn't say that. Okay. Verse 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured. Oh, wait a second. That's not even the babes in Christ. That's not even the believers. That's somebody who's graduate and they're disciplined. Hey, I want you to know, disciples are a bunch of gossipers and murmurers too. And they gossip, they talk, they murmur, they complain. Well, do you believe what he said? Do you really believe it? Well, that's what disciples do. They're not right with God. Remember when they brought the children to Jesus? To bless them, they put his hands on it. You know what the Bible says? The disciples rebuked the people from bringing the infants to Jesus. You know what Jesus, he straightened them out. He said, no. He said, let the children come. Suffer the little children come unto me. It's because, you know why? When you become a disciple, you get a chip on your shoulder because you learned something. Yeah. You learn a truth that God gave you and you forgot where you came from. And here Jesus' own disciples are murmuring and complaining. His disciples murmured at it. He said unto them, doth this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is a spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you, talking to the disciples now, that believe not. That's what Jesus said to the disciples. One sinner destroyeth much good. Let me tell you something. You know what? There wouldn't be a better place for a child molester to come than in this place right here. And you get mad at me when I preach against perverts and sodomites and queers. You better thank God I preach against that stuff, because I don't want some fake phony fraud showing up because they're interested in molesting one of your children. Hello? Is this working this morning? See, the preacher may know something you don't know. I don't know who it is, but my job is to preach the whole counsel of God. Over and over and over again. I don't know why you come to church. I have no idea. I hope that you're here because you want to learn God, about God, that you love God, that you want to worship God, that you want to give your all. I hope that's the reason. But I've been around long enough that some people come for nefarious reasons. Some people come for the wrong reasons. Some people are forced to come, children especially. I don't know why everybody comes. My job is to preach the whole counsel of God. If you're offended at something I preach about, it must have hit home. It must have been a target right on you that hurt you, because you would have said, you know, if you were mature enough, you say, well, maybe somebody needed that. I don't know why he preached it, but somebody may have needed that. That takes a mature adult to say, I don't know why, but I understand all things. Let's keep reading here. Verse 63 again, it is a spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Watch this, verse 6. It's interesting, it's John 6, 66. I don't think that's by coincidence. I think God knew exactly what he was doing. He gave us the King James Bible, John 6, 6, 6. It says here, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now, if they're going to do that with the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to do that with any pastor on planet Earth. Because you know what? People are prideful. People are selfish and lazy, and they don't want to be pointed out, and they don't want to grow. They want to stay stunted in their baby, immature age. They don't want to grow. They don't want to conform. They don't want to keep rank, as the Bible says. They want to do whatever they want to do. Let me tell you something. You know why I hate New York State? I know you don't want to hear that. It's because the Yankees are here. No, that's not the only reason. I hate New York State because it's so ungodly. But too many people hate New York State because you're too much of a rebel. See, you hate things for the wrong reasons. And there's too many disciples, they're good at covering up. They're good at putting on a facade, and they're lying through their teeth when they give you an excuse why they didn't do what they should have done. And they think they can pull it over the preacher's eyes and fool the preacher. Maybe some young preacher who's 20 or 30 years old hasn't pastored a long time. You're not going to pull it over my eyes. I'll just say, I understand. I understand. I understand you're just rebelling against God. You're full of pride. You're selfish. And you're purposely trying to disobey God by weaseling your way out of God's will in your life. Do what you want. I'm not changing the message. I'm not changing my preaching. I'm not changing my teaching. You do what you want. I want to remind you that people sat in these pews before you sat here. And people are going to sit in these pews, Lord tarries, Lord willing, when you're dead and gone too. When you move on too, God, somebody's going to sit here too. I've been here 31 years. I've seen a lot of people come and go. Good, better people than you. You ask every people been around here for 25, 30 years. I'm telling you. So which are you? If you're saved, you're a child of God, you're a believer. You believe the Bible. You believe in Jesus Christ. But are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? A saved disciple this morning, are you? And do you want to be a Christian? Do you want to be a Christian? Those are the three levels in Christianity. There's two groups of people alive today, saved people and lost people. When you die, you're either going to go to be with Jesus Christ in heaven, or you're going to burn in hell for all eternity because you've rejected Jesus Christ. Only two groups of people. You can throw out the denominations, you can throw out the religious titles, you can throw out all the acronyms and all the synonyms you want. But when you die, you're either going to be with Jesus, or you're going to be burning in hell. Now, if you're saved, if you've asked Jesus to be your Savior, you're one of three. All of us are believers if we're saved. But have you matured anything? Have you grown from just being a believer to being disciplined, being a disciple, saying no to your selfish wants, saying no to your selfish desires, saying no, I want to, I'd like to, I have an urge to, but I'm disciplined enough to say no. I know it's not right. I know it's not worth it. I mean, it may not even be a sin, just the weight that so easily doth beset us. And tonight I'll be talking about Christians. I'll be talking about Christians in faraway lands and people that are inscribed in books of old who gave their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. We love our guns and our fishing more than we love Jesus. We love our cell phones and our computers more than we love Jesus. We love our church buildings and stained glass windows and our houses and our cars more than we love Jesus. But faraway lands, overseas, you'll find some Christians there. Which one are you? A believer, disciple, or a Christian? You're one of the three if you're saved. If you're not saved, I'd urge you to get saved this morning. Let's all stand, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, there's no way I could completely exhaust this kind of a Bible study in 40 minutes or so, this morning or tonight. There's no way I can go through all these verses about disciples and what it entails to be a Christian, but we are far from it. What we need to do is humble ourselves and admit and acknowledge how far away we are from Thee. How far America has fallen away from Thee. How far America has rejected Thee. Dear Heavenly Father, please be merciful to us. Please be patient with us. Not just for our sakes alone, personally, but for our family's sake, for our children's sake, so that You would bless our families, our children, our loved ones. It shouldn't be for our own personal gain, even a spiritual gain. It should be for somebody else's spiritual welfare, that we're concerned about somebody else's spiritual growth, that we're concerned about the lost and their eternal destiny. Dear God, help us to look at some of these verses we read this morning and the ones we're going to look at tonight, about which category we fall in under if we're saved, if we're children of God, if we're born again. And I pray, dear God, if there's anybody in this room that's not saved, that today they would trust You to be their Savior. May they receive You as their Savior. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.